السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
أبا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله بخير.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا آله وسلم. أما بعد، book on these days is الداء والدواء by الإمام أبو عبد الله محمد ابن أبي بكر. We all refer to him as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya, rahimahullah. In the last discourse, we are upon the second issues that keep the people upon unrighteousness. He started the discussion by saying that فَمَسْتُجْلِبَتْ نِعْمُ اللَّهِ وَاسْتُدْفِعَتْ نِقَمُهُ بمثل طاعته والتقرب إليه والإحسان إلى خلقه. There is no one who has attracted favors from Allah. If you want goodness from Allah, a person is in a discomfort, a person is in a trouble, a person is in a worry, an individual is suffering from a disease or an illness. He wants to cure that illness using the acts of righteousness. We have established the acts of righteousness. Allah uses it as a means of cure for diseases. Allah uses acts of righteousness as a means of resolving problems. So if we want our problems to be resolved, then we should carry on act of righteous deeds. An example we would always give is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Dawu, dawu, mardakum sadaqa, dawu, cure those ones who are ill amongst you, cure them." How do you cure them? This sadaqah, employing sadaqah. You give sadaqah, you have someone at home is ill. You have someone at home who is uncomfortable. The way you want to solve that problem is by providing sadaqah outside, so that because of your sadaqah, Allah cures your ill person, your brother, your sister, your wife, your relative, your mother is ill. You give sadaqah outside, begging Allah to cure the person inside because of the sadaqah. So he said, good deeds bring about cure and relief for difficult situations. This is the reason how he got into discussing good deeds. He said, so how do we achieve good deeds? The first means of achieving good deeds is to know the details towards achieving good deeds. How do I get there? He now said the second means of achieving good deeds is that to avoid those things that will not make you achieve them. The first way is to delineate, how do I get there? How do I know what to do? He told us that there are ways to learn that. Especially he mentioned sticking to the Quran and the Sunnah, reading it, studying the Quran. The Quran will guide you upon good deeds. Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. Ya ahl al-kitab qad ja'akum rasuluna yubayyinu lakum kathiran mimma kuntum tukhfuna min al-kitab ويعفو عن كثير قد جاءكم من الله نور وكتاب مبين يهدي به الله من اتبع. These are the attributes of the Quran. Allah said the Quran, يهدي به الله من اتبع رضوانه سبل السلام ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور بإذنه ويهديهم إلى صراط مستقيم. These are the virtues of the Quran. You find guidance in it. Ibn al-Qayyim went on to say, okay, we want to achieve goodness. We want to achieve righteousness to resolve our worries. We have understood that the way to do that is to go through the Quran, to learn the Sunnah. He even said to us that Al-Quran, this Quran, that the Sunnah is Shaqiqatul Quran, the sister, father, and mother, the same of the Quran, is the Sunnah. So in both of them, we find the means to achieve righteousness. He came back to the second major point we need to understand if we want to achieve righteousness. He said that is that أن يحذر العبد مغالطة نفسه له على هذه الأسباب. Those means that you have now recognized that you must follow to be of righteousness. Don't allow your nafs, don't allow your soul, don't allow your mind to deceive you away from those means. Don't allow your soul to deceive you away from the things that will bring benefit to you. He said, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ, because an individual, يَعْرِفُ أَنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ وَالْغَفْلَةَ مِنَ الْأَصْبَابِ الْمُدِّرَّةِ لَهُ فِي دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتِهِ. An individual might recognize and understand truly أَنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ, that sinfulness, وَالْغَفْلَةَ, and negligence, مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ, these two are from the means that will do what? That من الأسباب المضرة له في دنياه وآخرته. They are from the means that will certainly bring harm to you. You understand that sinfulness, disobedience to Allah and negligence will bring harm to you. لكن تغالطه نفسه بالاتكال على عفو الله وكرمه ومغفرته. Despite understanding the evil that sinfulness and negligence will bring, تغالطه نفسه, the individual becomes deceived by his mind. His heart will be suggesting to him to rely on, oh, Allah is merciful. Oh, Allah is benevolent. Oh, Allah is all forgiving. So instead of going upon the path of righteousness, this assurance falsely by his mind does not make him be able to achieve righteousness. The mind begins to tell him things that will not make it be easy or even possible for him to pursue the right of the path of righteousness. He will find it very difficult. Why? His mind is giving him a lot of suggestions. Do this, do this, don't worry, Allah is forgiving. And that was why in the last class we stopped at the point he was telling us various things. He mentioned 18 things. Out of the 18, we have discussed 10 of them. Those things that people think about that does not make them be able to achieve the goal of being righteous people. He said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَغْتَرُّ بِآبَائِهِ وَأَسْلَافِهِ. He said, there are some of the people who are engrossed in sin. يَغْتَرُّ بِآبَائِهِ, they become deceived. وَأَسْلَافِهِ, they become deceived. بِآبَائِهِ, because he thinks about the high position of his father Waaslafi and his great grandparents. He begins to think about them feeling superior because of his parents and his great grandparents. وَأَنَّ لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ مَكَانَةً وَصَلَاحًا. He begins to think that لَهُمْ عِنَّ اللَّهِ مَكَانَةً. His father and his great grandparents, they have big status and rank before Allah. وَصَلَاحًا. My father and my great grandparents were righteous people. He said, رحمه الله, منهم من يغتر بآبائه وأسلافه. Some of the people who end up not achieving righteousness, they are upon sinfulness and negligence regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their minds will be deceiving them regarding their parents and their great grandparents. Their minds will tell them that أن لهم عند الله مكانة وصلاحة. Don't worry, your father and your grandparents, they have a big rank before Allah. They are very, very righteous people. فلا يدعون أن يخلصوا. His mind will tell him that his parents cannot but help him get out of his problems. Don't worry, continue to sin. You can do what you like. You can become a criminal. You can drink alcohol. You can commit zina. You have parents who are righteous people who have big ranks before Allah. They will not allow Allah to punish you. كما نشاهد ذلك في الدنيا في حضرة الملوك. Just like we see things like this in this world, in the palace of kings. You see that kings, they have a palace, and they have people who sit with them. In al muluk, they said, these kings, ذهبوا لخواصهم ذنوب أبنائهم وأقاربهم. If those who are close to the sin, to the king, if their children, أبناؤهم وأقاربهم, if their children and their relatives commit a sin, commit a crime, those who are with the kings in their palaces, who are close to the kings, if their children and those who are near them commit a crime, they commit murder, they commit adultery, whatever they do, فَإِنَّ الْمُلُوكِ, those kings, ذَهَبُوا لِخَوَاصِهِمْ ذُنُوبَ أَبْنَائِهِمْ وَأَقَارِبِهِمْ. The kings will give up those sins that the children of those who are near them and the children of those who are within the palace who dictate what happens, like you have in our own circumstance. If you have our president, you have the chief of staff, you have the minister, you have the service chiefs, and all of these, they are near the president. So when the children of any one of these people commit a crime, it is possible that you find that these same people begin to give up. So they think that, don't worry, if I commit a crime, my father is an inspector general of police. This kind of a thinking. Don't worry, if you commit a crime, your father is the chief of army staff. Don't worry, if you commit a crime, your father is the national security advisor. These people commit sins thinking that their own fathers too are near to Allah. Their fathers will not allow Allah to punish them. Just like the president and the inspector general of police, their own children too may have very wrong impressions that their fathers in high places will prevent litigation against them. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ فِي أَمْرٍ مُفْضِئٍ. So they think that if any one of them وَقَعَ فِي أَمْرٍ مُفْضِئٍ, if he falls, if he commits a very serious offense, خلصه أبوه وجده بجاهه ومنزلته. Their father and their great grandparents will protect him and save him. Why? بجاهه ومنزلته. Because their fathers and their grandfathers, they have a big status before Allah. So if they commit sins, their father will protect them, will not allow Allah to punish them. This kind of thinking has drawn back a lot of people. If you go to certain places in the southwest of Nigeria, this kind of a thinking is very common. It is also common amongst the Sufia. They believe that their Shehu, they believe that their leaders have a big status and rank before Allah. So if they commit zina, if they commit 419, if they commit murder, if they are indecent and all of these, they have people who will not allow Allah to punish them because those people have high ranks and status before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 11th thing people do and think with which their souls deceive them regarding Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَغْتَرُّ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ غَنِيٌّ عَنْ عَذَابِهِ. Some of these people become deceived. They become unfortunate, deceiving themselves. Why? They say that بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْ عَذَابِهِ. They say Allah is too big. Allah is too not in any need to punish them. Allah does not need to punish them. So because they think that, oh, Allah is too powerful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too self-sufficient, so he does not need to punish us. يَغْتَرُّونَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْ عَذَابِهِ. They are so overwhelmed. They think that Allah is not in need to punish them. وَعَذَابُهُ, if Allah punishes them, لَا يَزِيدُ فِي مُلْكِهِ شَيْئًا, it does not increase the kingdom of Allah in any bit. So if Allah's punishing them because they commit zina, does not increase the kingdom of Allah. So Allah will not punish us. Forget about that. This thinking makes them remain upon the path of unrighteousness and wickedness. وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَهُ لَا تُنْكِسُ مِنْ مُلْكِهِ شَيْئًا. If Allah is compassionate with them, they think so. That if Allah is compassionate with me, لَا تُنْكِسُ مِنْ مُلْكِهِ شَيْئًا, it does not also reduce anything from the kingdom of Allah. If Allah punishes them, they say, if Allah punishes them because of sin, it does not increase the kingdom of Allah. If Allah is merciful to them despite their criminal actions, despite their sinfulness and iniquities, if Allah is merciful to them, what does that reduce from the mercy of Allah? It does not, لَا تُنْكِسُ مِنْ مُلْكِهِ شَيْئًا. So it does not remove anything from the mercy of Allah if, despite being criminals, Allah decides to become merciful to them. Yes. So that makes them fear. Yeah, so allow us to commit the sins. Because Allah does not need to punish us. What will punishing us do to him? So they say, oh no, allow us to commit the sin. If Allah is merciful to us, he does not remove anything from his mercy. They see these two things that should ordinarily put them away from sinfulness and iniquity as the very reason why they should endure inside sinfulness and iniquity and in disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these kinds of people, Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, fayaqul, he begins to say, ana mudtarrun ila rahmatihi. وَهُوَ أَغْنَى الْأَغْنِيَاءِ عَنِّي. I am strongly in need of the mercy of Allah. وهو أغنى الأغنياء يعني. And Allah is most not in need of me in any way. Allah does not need me for anything, so let me commit the sin. And if he commits the sin, he thinks that Allah's punishing him. لا يزيد في ملكه شيئا. It does not increase anything in the kingdom of Allah. ورحمته له لا تنقص من ملكه شيئا. And that Allah is merciful to him despite his committing sins does not remove anything from the mercy of Allah. So allow me, I need Allah's mercy. فَيَكُولُ أَنَا مُضْطَرٌ إِلَىٰ رَحْمَتِهِ. I'm in dire need of the mercy of Allah. Because he thinks that his sinfulness will attract Allah's mercy to him. Because he's sinful. Not that Tawbah will attract Allah's mercy to him. No. Not that Istighfar will attract Allah's mercy to him. No. He thinks that completely being upon iniquity and disobedience to Allah, yes, that is why Allah will be merciful to me. Allah does not need me for him to be punished. And if Allah is merciful to me, nothing reduces from his power, nothing reduces from his rahmah. So let me commit the sin. This is the thinking they have. So they continue to remain upon sinfulness and acts of unrighteousness. They also continue to say that, وَلَوْ أَنَّ فَقِيرًا مِسْكِينًا. If you find somebody who is in abject poverty, مُضْطَرًا إِلَى شُرْبَةِ مَاءٍ, who becomes so much in their need of water to drink, he needs to drink water, إِنْ دَمَنْ فِي داره شط بحري. Somebody is in serious poverty and need, in serious need of water to drink, and he is in the house of a person. في داره شط بحري. شط بحري. If you are in need of water to drink, and you are in the house of a person who has a shatun. In the copy that's on the screen, it says shatun yajri. But in another copy, it says shatun bahriyun. This is what is correct. It is not shatun yajri, because the shatun refers to asahilu. Shati'u al-Bahri, that is the outside of an ocean, the surrounding environment of an ocean. That is the meaning of Shattu. But Shattu layajri, it cannot flow. What it is referring to is Shattun Bahriyun, the Sahil, the Shati'u al-Bahri. So a person has a house, and this house is at the shore, good, at the shore of a river. I have a house. That house is just by the shore of the river. And I have somebody in my house, fakirun, miskin, very poor and in need, mudtarrun ila shurbati ma'in indi, who is in need of drinking some water in my house, and I have access to the ocean on my house. Lama mana'ahu minha. Such a person who has a house that has a shatun bahriyun, that has a shore, is living on the shoreline. The poor man can just go to the ocean to collect water to drink. I have a house. In that house, I have a shoreline, and I have a poor man who needs water to drink. He can easily go to the shoreline to collect some water to drink. If this kind of a person would not prevent that poor person from going to the poor line to drink water, فَاللَّهُ أَكْرَمُ وَأَوْسَعُ, then Allah is more benevolent. Allah's mercy is more vast. فَالْمَغْفِرَةُ لَا تُنْكِسُهُ شَيْئًا. Allah's forgiveness, nothing will reduce it from it. Just the way that poor man who comes to my house, and my house is near water. The man can just go and collect water and drink. I'm seeing that the man is in need. I'm seeing that the man is poor. He needs water to drink. He's inside my house already. And I have a house just near the shore. He can go and drink water. I will not prevent him. Why do you think that Allah will prevent a person who is sinful? Allah's mercy is vast. La tunkisuhu shay'a. No amount of sinfulness will reduce the mercy of Allah. Yes, ikhwa, yes. No amount of sinfulness will reduce the maghfirah of Allah. No amount of sinfulness will reduce the rahmah of Allah. No amount of sinfulness will remove the karam of Allah. Allah does not still want you to be upon sin. Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرِ. Allah is not pleased at all that you, because you think he's so merciful and benevolent, that is the reason why you continue to disobey him. No, because you see that he is merciful and benevolent is the reason you should go away from sin. Why should you become disobedient to a person who is merciful to you? Think like this. Don't be disobedient to Allah who is merciful to you. Don't be disobedient to Allah who is Al-Ghaffar, Al-Ghafoor. Don't be disobedient to Allah who is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He shows you mercy. He makes things easy for you. He is Ar-Razzaq Al-Fattah Al-Wahhab, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Why then do you remain upon sin to the one who is merciful to you? Don't think the other way around, that because he's merciful, that is why you should be disobeying him. This is a wrong notion. And this kind of a notion, it has kept a lot of people upon unrighteousness. So they begin to say that, وَالْعُقُوبَةُ لَا تَزِيدُ فِي مُلْكِهِ شَيْئًا, that Allah is punishing me will not increase the kingdom of Allah. No. Allah's punishing you will not increase the kingdom of Allah. Yes, but that is not the reason why you should continue upon sinfulness. Because yes, if he punishes you, that does not increase him in his kingdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he has also earmarked punishment for those who are disobedient to him. That was why he says, Nabbi ibadi, tell my servants, Anni an al-Ghafoor al-Rahim, that I am al-Ghafoor, the one who absolutely forgives, al-Rahim, the one who absolutely shows mercy to people. Then he said, wa anna adhabi huwa al-Adhabu al-Alim. Tell them also that adhabi, when I punish a servant, my punishment, هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ, my punishment is a very severe, painful punishment. It means, as Allah is Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim, عَذَابُهُ هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ, the two of them go hand in hand. He forgives, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he shows mercy. Likewise, he punishes the sinful, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with a severe punishment. The fact that he is forgiven does not mean that everyone should become disobedient to him. In fact, that he is merciful to you and you pay back his mercifulness with sinfulness is an act of ingratitude from you. If Allah is Al-Ghafoor and he is Al-Ghafoor, if Allah is Ar-Rahim Ar-Rahman and he is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, if Allah is Ar-Razzaq and he is Ar-Razzaq, he has been feeding you, he has been providing you oxygen, he has been making you to sleep and wake up, he has given you sound health. Why then should you direct disobedience to the one who has shown you all these mercies? You see that will be from the aspects of ingratitude. And ingratitude is not reasonable. neither is it in conformance with the Sharia. Ibn al-Qayyim told us a 12th thing that makes people remain upon unrighteousness. He says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقْتَرُّ بِفَهْمٍ فَاسِدٍ فَهِمَهُ هُوَ وَأَضْرَابُهُ مِنْ نُصُوصِ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ فَاتَّكَلُوا عَلَيْهِ. He said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَغْتَرُّ بِفَهْمٍ فَاسِدٍ فَهِمَهُ. There are some of these people who remain upon sinfulness. They remain upon wickedness, real wickedness. They invite young girls and then slaughter them, make them money rituals. They drink alcohol. After that, they come to the public to spray money and dance. All these people of wickedness, they continue upon their wickedness, bifahmin fasidin, because of an evil understanding, fahimahu, that he has had, huwa wa adrabuhu, himself and those like him, his ilks, min nususil Qur'ani and sunnah, wa sunnah, because of an evil understanding, deliberately misunderstanding the Quran and the Sunnah. Fattakalu alayhi. So they remain upon that evil understanding. Kattika li ba'dihim ala qawlihi ta'ala. The way some of them depend on their evil understanding of a verse of the Quran. Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned a few verses. Let us see the first one that they deliberately misunderstand. And they remain upon that misunderstanding, to remain upon wickedness and unrighteousness. What is that? وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Duha, Allah said to him, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ. Your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ. He will soon grant you a huge thing of goodness. There is hathful maf'ul here. Allah didn't say what he will give him, because what he will give him is better imagined. It's so huge, tremendous goodness. So fayu'tika rabbuk. Allah will grant the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam a tremendous kind of goodness that the minds cannot even imagine. Fatardo. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will be pleased. Qalu. These people have a bad understanding, a faulty, erring understanding of this verse, where Allah said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatardo. قالوا هو لا يرضى أن يكون في النار أحد من أمته. They say that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرضى, he would not be pleased that أن يكون في النار أحد, that anyone finally ends up in Jahannam, من أمته, from his ummah. The Prophet is not pleased that anyone finally ends up in Jahannam, in his ummah. So they say that makes them be able to commit sins. Commit the sin, Allah will not put you into Jahannam, because the Prophet does not like it. And Allah has promised that what the Prophet likes, what he will be pleased with, is what he will give the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhwa, understand this point. Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah will grant you a tremendous goodness and you will be pleased, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people say, from the things that Allah will give the Prophet and that the Prophet will be pleased, is that there is nobody in his ummah that ends up in Jahannam. لَا يَرْضَى أَن يَكُونَ فِي النَّارِ. That anyone will enter the fire from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that will not be pleasing to the Prophet. The Prophet will not be pleased that some people in his ummah enter Jahannam. Yes. But don't forget that the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannata illa man aba. The entirety of my ummah, the Prophet himself said so. The hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannata illa man aba. The entirety of my ummah would enter al-jannah except those who refuse. Qalu, the companions asked him, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, who will reject entering al-jannah? Al-jannah is open. Who will reject? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man ata'ani dakhal al-jannah. Those who follow me, who follow my sunnah, who are not disobedient to Allah and His Messenger, they will enter al-jannah. Wa man asa, and those who reject, who become disobedient, these are the people who reject that they want to enter al-jannah. So the Prophet himself told us that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some people will deliberately reject being inside al-jannah from his ummah. He warned us, don't be from those who will reject. So those who deliberately remain upon sin, they are like people who are rejecting al-jannah. That thing that the Prophet is pleased with, they are rejecting it that they don't want. Unfortunately, these people are thinking that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not be pleased, that Allah will punish them. Yes, he does not like that Allah is punishing you. He does not want Allah to punish you. That was why he was sent. But that is if you follow him. If you don't follow him, then you have the repercussions of your sins to cope with inside Jahannam. Why? Rather than follow the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, you rejected the message of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. You became disobedient to the instructions brought by the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you face the repercussion of your rejection. The fact that the Prophet is not pleased with you being in Jahannam, but you rejected that. You say you don't want. You like to remain upon sin. So rather than following what the Prophet is pleased with, rather than following what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, and being saved from Jahannam, you chose to reject what Allah is pleased with. You chose to reject what the Prophet is pleased with. And then you should face the repercussion. So when Allah said, Wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda, O Muhammad, Allah will give you a great gift and you will be pleased with the gift. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is not to say that people should continue to be upon sin just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the Prophet a gift that he will be pleased with. These people, in their misunderstanding of that verse, Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَقْبَحِ الْجَهْلِ, that's their misunderstanding, that وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, Allah will give the Prophet a big gift and he will be pleased. They say that the Prophet will not be pleased that they are inside Jahannam. The Prophet will not be pleased that they are inside Jahannam. So if the Prophet will not be pleased that they are inside Jahannam, no matter the sin they commit, they will not enter Jahannam. Why? The Prophet will not be pleased that they will enter Jahannam. This is a big misunderstanding. Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَقْبَحِ الْجَهَلِ, this is from the most obnoxious ignorance. وَأَبْيَنِ الْكَذِبِ عَلَيْهِ, this is from the most clear falsehood attributed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَإِنَّهُ, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَرْضَى بِمَا يُرْضِي رَبَّهُ, the Prophet becomes pleased with whatever is pleasing to Allah. Whatever is pleasing to Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pleased with it. وَاللَّهُ يُرْضِيهِ تَعْذِيبُ الظَّلَمَةِ, and Allah is pleased with punishing those who are unjust, the wicked people. وَالْفَسَقَ, and people of serious iniquity and disobedience. والخوانة, people of deceit and hypocrisy, والمصورين, and those people who get busy with making images, those people who get busy with pictures and all of these, Allah is pleased with punishing them. والمصرين على الكبائر, likewise those who continue to become sinful, taking up those actions that are seriously grievous offenses, those people who مصرون على الكبائر, Allah is pleased to punish them. So فحاشا رسوله, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa حاشا رسوله is so far away. Allah يرضى بما يرضى به ربه, the Prophet is far away from not being pleased with what Allah is pleased with. Allah is pleased to punish those who are disobedient. Allah is pleased to punish al-fasaqa, very disobedient people of iniquity. Allah is pleased to punish al-khawana, people of deceit, 419ers, khainun, al-khawana too. Allah is pleased to punish them, wal-musawirin, those people who make pictures and images of living things. Allah is pleased, he will punish them. That is his ordainment regarding them. والمصرين على الكبائر, likewise those people who continue to commit zina, those people who commit homosexuality, those people who commit lesbianism, people who abandon salah, people who get busy with as-sihr, witchcraft and sorcery, people who get busy with uququl walidain, they get busy with disobedience to parents and causing harm to their parents, wives who are audacious and insulting towards their husbands, and husbands who prevent women from their rights, they deny their wives of their rights. All of these kinds of things fall under the issues on al-kabair. When the people continue upon sin, they are warned to abandon sin, but they reject it. Allah, his ordainment on people like this is that he will punish them. This punishment that Allah chooses to met on these kinds of people, فَحَاشَ رَسُولَهُ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is far away. Allah يَرُضَى بِمَا يَرُضَى بِهِ رَبُّهُ, not to be pleased with what Allah has ordained and is pleased to do. Allah is pleased to punish people who refuse to repent. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حَاشَ, is far away, not to be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. So for you to say that wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda, O Messenger of Allah, Allah will give you something and you'll be pleased, what that means is that the Prophet will not be pleased that some people are punished, so the Prophet will remove them from Jahannam. Yes, there is shafa'ah for those in Jahannam, don't forget. There is also shafa'ah for some people not to even get into Jahannam at all. But in all of these, the final matters rest with Allah. When Allah chooses to punish them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pleased with whatever Allah is pleased with, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't allow that make you remain upon unrighteousness. Because if Allah is pleased to punish you for your iniquities, the Prophet is pleased with whatever Allah decides and is pleased with, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should not make you continue upon sin. Ibn al-Qayyim wanted to tell us another verse that they misinterpret. He said, وَكَتِّكَ لِبَعْضِهِمْ عَلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَىٰ, and like the dependence of some of them, they are being deceived, they are connecting, deceiving themselves with a verse of the Quran when Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, when Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا in Surah Az-Zumar, this verse here, it means that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, Allah forgives all sins in their entirety. There is no sin that Allah does not forgive. Allah forgives all sins. They think that if they commit sihr, if they abandon salat, if they make man zakah, if they refuse giving zakah, if they insult and abuse their parents, if they are aggressive against their husbands, men who punish their wives, children who are disobedient to their parents, and all of these, they think that when they do it, inna Allah yaghfir dhunuba jami'a, Allah forgives all sins on the day of Qiyamah. There is nothing, including shirk. They commit shirk. They go, many of these afars have idols in their homes. After salah, they still go and commit shirk. They have things they tie to their hands and all of these things that Allah has prohibited. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. They come back to say, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgives all the sins. Yes, Allah forgives all the sins. Lita'ibin. For those who repent, anyone who repents from any sin, Allah will forgive him. Anyone who repents from any sin, illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha. Allah said, fa ulaika yubaddilullahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. As long as you make genuine, sincere tawbah, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgives all sins. So don't be afraid. This is the sermon for those committing sins, for them to abandon sins. Look at the beginning of that verse. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, say that, tell the people that, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. O my slaves, those of you who have wronged their souls, you have committed serious offenses. You committed shirk. You committed zina. You were upon sihr, witchcraft and sorcery. You made qatlun nafs. You took the lives of people. You engaged in riba. You committed all these evils. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair. Don't lose hope from the mercy of Allah. Why? Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. As long as you make tawbah, Allah will forgive you all these your sins. Allah will forgive all the sins. When you make tawbah, all the sins will be forgiven. Allah will forgive you the sins. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said that this verse, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, where Allah called out all those who have wronged their souls and committed serious iniquities. Ibn Abbas said regarding this verse that anna nasan min ahli al-shirki, that some people from the people of shirk, qatalu wa aktharu, they killed a lot of people. They committed a lot of murder. Don't forget that before the Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, announcing Islam to the people, Arabs were burying some of their children alive. So these people, qatalu, they committed a lot of murder. Wa aktharu, they were much, they did a lot of that. Wa zanau, Arabs were also very, very to the large extremes regarding zina. Arabs were really upon zina. Zanau fa aktharu. They committed zina and they had a lot of zina on their neck, a lot of them. Fa atau Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam fa qalu. They began to say to him that, إن الذي تقول وتدعو إليه لحسن. What you are saying and inviting to is good. You are inviting to the worship of Allah alone. You are inviting that people should avoid and completely abandon zina. You are saying that people should not commit murder. You are saying that people should respect their parents. You are saying that men should be merciful to their wives. You are saying that wives should be submissive and obedient to their husband. Inna الذي تقول وتدعو إليه لحسن. What you say and invite unto is very good. لو تخبرنا, can you please inform us أن لما عملنا كفارة, can you please guarantee us those sins that we had committed before, the zina that they had committed before, the killings that they had committed before, the ritual money that they were busy with before. Will Allah forgive those ones? فَنَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. Then this verse came down. What did the verse say? يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Oh my servants, الَّذِينَ قَتَلُوا فَأَكْثَرُوا. Those who had killed a lot of souls and were so much in that. الَّذِينَ زَنَوا فَأَكْثَرُوا. Those who had committed a lot of zina, Allah said, asrafu ala anfusihim. They were really, really in the extremes against their souls. They were committing evils and iniquities against their souls. Allah said, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope. Do not despair away from the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. So you see that this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, is actually talking about التائبون, those who repent. It is not saying that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا by way of guaranteeing a person who is upon sin, don't worry, continue to sin. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا, Allah forgives all sins. That is لمن تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا. Yes. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. How about shirk? Does Allah forgive shirk except for the one who makes tawbah? And he said ذنوب جميعا. So this is not talking about those who continue upon sin. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah will forgive all sins, including shirk, including zina, including alcohol consumption, including abandoning salah, once you make tawbah. Ikhwa, this is the meaning of this verse. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Once you make tawbah. Ibn al-Qayyim said, some people misunderstand this verse. What do they say? He says, وَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنْ أَقْبَحِ الْجَهَلِ. That their misunderstanding is very bad and very, very deplorable. They think that that verse is a reason for them to continue upon sin. So you see somebody drinking alcohol, stop alcohol, saying, Allah يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins, so don't disturb me. You see somebody committing shirk, he has not made tawbah away from shirk. He's saying la yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. You see somebody committing great evil, saying la yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. The same verse that should make them go out of sins is the same verse that they recite to remain upon sin. Ibn al-Qayyim said, this is akbah al-jahli. This is from the most obnoxious ignorance. فَإِنَّ الشِّرْكَ دَاخِلٌ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. Because shirk was also included in this verse. Or shirk also comes under this verse. That إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. فَإِنَّهُ رَأْسُ الذُّنُوبِ. Shirk is the worst of the sins that anybody can commit. وَأَسَاسُهَا. And its foundation. When somebody is upon shirk, they can commit any sin. وَلَا خِلَافَ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. And there is no difference amongst the scholars of tafsir that this verse, إِنَّمَا فِي حَكِّ التَّائِبِينَ, that the verse is only talking about those who are repenting. It is talking about those who are asking for forgiveness from Allah. It's a guarantee, like we read in that hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, regarding the sabab al-nuzul of that verse. People were asking the Prophet, how about those things that we had done before? So Allah is telling them, don't worry. Al-Islamu yajubbu ma kana qablahu. Islam has cancelled out all the sins that you had committed before you became Muslims. فَإِنَّهُ يَغْفِرُ ذَنْبَ كُلِّ تَائِبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sin of everyone who makes tawbah. أَيَّ ذَنْبٍ كَانَ. No matter what that sin is, ikhwa. So the point we will say here, for those of us here, is that if a person is so sinful, don't worry, Allah will forgive you. Once you make tawbah, once you repent and turn away, once you ask for Allah's forgiveness, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا أَيَّ ذَنْبٍ كَانَ. No matter that sin, Allah will forgive you. If you have been a Yahoo boy before, if you make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. If you have been a runs girl before, if you make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. If you had been a 419er before, if you make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. If you steal government money, you make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. If you are upon Jalabi, killing people for rituals, if you make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. There is not a sin anyone commits and makes tawbah that Allah does not forgive. This is the meaning of this verse. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَلَوْ كَانَتْ الْآيَةُ فِي حَكِّ غَيْرِ التَّائِبِينَ. If it were that this verse is not talking about those who are upon repentance, لَبَطَلَتْ نُصُوصُ الْوَعِيدِ كُلُّهَا وَأَحَادِيثُ إِخْرَاجِ قَوْمٍ مِنَ الْمُوَحِّدِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ بِالشَّفَاعَةِ. If it were not that when Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, is talking about those who come turn in repentance to Allah. If it is not this that Allah is talking about, لَبَطَلَتْ نُصُوصُ الْوَعِيدِ كُلُّهَا, then it will not be necessary to say, oh, if somebody abandons Salah, you should be careful, Allah will punish him. Oh, no, فَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Why? Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. And we know that that is not the case. Anybody who dies upon shirk, he dies upon shirk, no tawbah, no iman, no tawheed. He dies upon shirk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah said, لَا يَغْفِرُ, I will not forgive those kind of people. So when it says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, for those who make tawbah. As for those who don't make tawbah, if the sin is shirk and a person dies on it, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. So it becomes clear that this verse is not evidence to keep people upon sin. It's not a reason to say, oh, brother, what you are doing is bad. You say, no, leave me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. This is a very big ignorance. So Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, this verse that Allah forgives all sins is not applicable in every situation. If it were applicable in every situation, there is no need to say that on the day of Qiyamah, some people will be in Jahannam, and Allah will order that they be removed. The Prophet will beg and intercede that they be removed. Why were they in Jahannam before? If it were that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, no, they would not have been in Jahannam in the first place. But because some sins will still be punished on the day of Qiyamah, that is the reason why some people will be in Jahannam and they will have to be brought out of Jahannam. That makes us understand that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيُعَذِّبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. He punishes whom he wills for what he wills of the iniquities that people commit. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَهَذَا this verse إِنَّمَا أُتِيَ صَاحِبُهُ. These kinds of misinterpretations, people deliberately misinterpret them. من قلة علمه وفهمه, because of the smallness of their knowledge and understanding. فإنه سبحانه ها هنا, because here in this verse, إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا, that Allah forgives all sins. عمم وأطلق, he was general, he was not restrictive at all. فَعُلِمَ أَنَّهُ أَرَادَ التَّابِعِينَ. So it becomes understood that when he made it general, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, when he did not restrict his tawbah, when he did not restrict his gufran, he opened the door those that he is opening the door to subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ta'ibun. He wants them to come out, make tawbah, so that I can forgive you all your sins. It does not mean that, don't worry, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. So that makes some people remain upon sinfulness. This is not what this verse is talking about. The verse is not encouraging sin. It is encouraging repentance. Unfortunately, some of the people deliberately misunderstand it. And instead of hearing that inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a, then they quickly make tawbah. They say inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a, then they remain upon sin and unrighteousness, thinking that this verse is a ticket and a visa to committing sins and being disobedient to Allah. These are the ways the people's mind make them remain upon unrighteousness, even when they desire righteousness. These kinds of misunderstanding does not make them be able to attain righteousness. This is the 13th out of the 18 things that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned that puts people away from the path of righteousness. If a person is thinking that he can commit sins, Allah will forgive us, how will he become righteous? If a person thinks that, oh, don't worry, Allah is merciful, how will he become righteous? He will continue to remain upon sinfulness, and his life will continue to be in difficulty. His worries will be more. He will increase in depression. He will find difficulty with everything that he does. The blessings of Allah will be far away from his engagements. His home will be troubled and worried because he is far away from obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that these points are clear about the Rahman. We'll come back to the rest of them in the next class, inshallah.
No question, yes.
Alhamdulillah, it appears that the verse and the points are clear. Ibn al-Qayyim once it suggested to us, rahimahullah, that from the things by which we cure problems, we solve the problems of life, is the acts of righteousness. He now said, but it is difficult to get these acts of righteousness because of the kinds of misconceptions people have. He began to give us those misconceptions one after the other. Some people say, oh, Allah is merciful, so they continue to sin. Some people say, oh, Allah forgives, they continue to sin. Some people say, oh, Allah's merciful, mercy is very vast, so let's continue, they continue to sin. So how then will they find the kind of righteousness from where they will gain protection, from where they will gain solution to the problems that they have? Because Allah employs the righteousness of his servant to grant them comfort and remove their discomfort. So how will he gain that if Shaitan has deceived him to remain upon unrighteousness? I hope that it is clear, bismillah. I mean, there's a question asking about that statement of Ibn Abbas regarding the revelation of that surah. That occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari, that hadith of Ibn Abbas, that Ahlul Jahiliyyah, Ahlul Shirk, the people of Jahiliyyah and Shirk, Qatalu wa Aktharu, before they entered Islam, they committed a lot of murder. Wa Zanau fa Aktharu, they committed a lot of zina, adultery and fornication. They committed it a lot. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that inna alladhi taqulu wa tad'u ilayhi la hasanun. Certainly, what you are inviting to and telling the people to do is very good. Lao tukhbiruna. But please, can you kindly tell us how about those things that we have done before? They say that some of them, they committed a lot of zina. Some of the ritual killings and all of this, they were upon it. So will Allah forgive those sins? Will we get kafara? Then Allah sends down that verse. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah innallaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a innahu huwal ghafurur rahim wa anibu ila rabbikum wa aslimu lahu. All of us should return to Allah and submit to Him. Go back to this verse. You'll understand that it's not just about forgiveness. He also threatens that those who don't repent and ask for forgiveness, they have a time limit before He turns against them in His punishment. So don't rubbish, don't remain, don't give yourself confidence upon unrighteousness because of the mercy of Allah. Don't forget too that Azab Allah is Shadid. He said, Wa anna azabi huwa al-azab al-alim. Allah's punishment is severe for those who reject and refuse repentance and asking for forgiveness. Allah's punishment is also there. It is too. His mercy is there. His forgiveness is vast. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. His kindness knows no limits. If you ask for His forgiveness, He will forgive you. But if you reject, He will punish you as is appropriate. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect and forgive all of us. Allah the Rahman. Now, can we call it a day because the time is already fast spent?
Naam ya Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.